In Genesis, we see that God, well, let's just begin right here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It says that, Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. These words spoken to mankind are as old as mankind is on this earth. These were the words that God spoke to Adam and all the descendants of Adam when we became a living soul, or as some translations say, we became a speaking spirit. And the first of these words are the words, be fruitful. And we see that theme repeated throughout the Word of God, and it's only the New Testament where Jesus talks about him being the vine, we're the branches, and it's our connection, our union with him that enables us once again to be fruitful. We've said that sin separated us from God, and over time, our focus shifted from being fruitful to doing work. And we teach and preach extensively on the difference between our being and our doing. We said last week that doing work will never satisfy our longing for fruitfulness. And believing your worth and identity are determined by your doing instead of your being is a massive stronghold that must be broken and pulled down in our lives. What we do for God is important, but he doesn't love you based upon what you do for him. He loves you based upon who you are to him. It must be being first. Being determines our doing. Our doing can never determine our being. We revisited in Genesis 2 where the Bible says that the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and then he put the man in that whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight, good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend, that's an important word there, and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Somebody say freely eat. Freely eat. You're going to see that word freely. I believe it's one of God's favorite words. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in the First Testament, the Second Testament, where Father God speaks of us freely eating. So we spent some time breaking down a couple of Wednesday nights ago when it says that the fruit on those trees was pleasant to the sight and good for food. It literally means that God created the appetite in man and then created the perfect food experience, if you will, intake experience, if you will, to satisfy that. We use this example. I think this is perhaps the best way so far the Lord's given me to communicate this. If you've ever had a really good meal and you said it hit the spot, well, the fruit that God created hit the spot because God created the spot that it hit. Amen. It was a perfection that every chef who's ever earned Michelin stars or won Tournament of Champions or, you know, all these cooking competitions on Food Network, okay? It was the satisfaction from a meal that every chef since then has tried to live up to and measure up to, but they haven't yet. Let me just say something, okay? You're gonna really like the food in heaven, okay? You're gonna really, really, really like the food in heaven. It's kind of, we never told the rest of the story. We helped Pam's uncle move into that assisted living. How long did he stay there? He didn't stay there very long. And you know why? He didn't like the food. He was out of there. He's like, man, I can't, he said, they don't feed enough around here to keep a little puppy alive, you know, but he was a big man. But anyway, you're going to like the food in heaven. And that's the way it was in the Garden of Eden. But he's talking about more than food here. He's talking about more than just appetite, for food. He's talking about satisfaction and meaningfulness on levels that we won't experience again this side of heaven in their fullness until we cross over one day on the other side. All right. Now, we also know from chapter 3, so the instructions were to tend and keep and eat freely. Tend, keep, eat freely. Tend, keep, eat freely. Then, of course, we know Adam and Eve sinned, separated themselves from God, and God says in verse 17, chapter 3, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth from you, and you shall eat the herb of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. So we see that Adam was created for tending, and his sin reduced him to a toiler, okay, to toiling. But we know that Jesus came to restore back to you and me what we lost when Adam sinned and fell. And that would include, absolutely include, taking us back from a place of toiling and reestablishing us in a position of tending. And we've drawn some parallels from that already, that God got that garden ready and then put Adam in it. And he was surrounded by abundance, everything that he needed and wanted right there. God created the appetites and then created the things in that garden to satisfy those appetites. It was a perfect fit, a perfect match. Are you with me? Let's go back to the food thing. Have you ever had a taste for something and it's just nothing was satisfied? You know, I'm sure nobody besides me and Pam have ever had this conversation. What do you want to eat, baby? I don't know what you want to eat. And of course, we've lived in this Hueytown area, you know, for decades and decades now. Who's excited about the Lord's chicken coming to Hueytown? Yes. Man. Except for the Lord's chicken is a few blocks from Jake and Bethany's house and a few blocks from John, Mark, and Gina's house. So we still eat Chick-fil-A if you don't know what the Lord's chicken is. Amen. That's but praise God, we're getting something new in Hueytown. Amen. And but you don't have this, and so sometimes you know you just have a taste for something. But again, none of that in heaven. I mean, that every meal was as satisfying as anything that we could ever think of and imagine. But that's not happening anymore because they sinned, and yet now we've been restored to a place of satisfaction. You know, the world is looking for contentment. The world is looking for meaningfulness. The world is looking for satisfaction. And so many people are dissatisfied and discontented. And yet we have in Christ Jesus what it is the world is looking for. Now, let me kind of pull out a little bit to a bigger picture view, and then we'll come back and zoom in on some things. But the Lord's been speaking to us now for a few years about making significant shifts in the way we think, the way we see things, and the way we respond. And we've covered a lot of those. Like, for example, most people on planet Earth are trying to live their lives from the outside to the inside. God created us to live from the inside to the outside. So that's a significant shift. And I'm not going to try to go through the list of the ones. But the latest significant shift the Lord wants to help us make is to go from one who toils to one who tends. Amen. I'm not sure all of you are as excited about this as I am, but I promise you, if you'll let the Lord help me explain it to you, you will be all in. Amen. So we know from Scripture that God does not toil, He tends. We were created in His image and likeness. God created us for tending, not toiling. He created us to be fruitful. Sin separated us from God, leaving us with a desire, but without the blessing necessary to be fruitful. We compensated for the loss by doing work. Toiling replaced tending, and most, including God's children in the earth, have never looked back. Jesus restored us to our position. We are no longer the toiler. We have become the tender once again. Renewing our minds to think like the tender instead of the toiler is a key area of our growth and development. Okay? Now, we said a work-based toiling mindset still lingers in many of God's children. Our minds must be renewed to a fruitfulness-based tending mindset compatible with our new nature and identity. Fruitfulness is to our new nature what righteousness is to our new nature. Fruitfulness is to our new nature what freedom is to our new nature. Are you following what I'm saying? We sometimes talk about these things in terms of freedom from sin, in terms of being made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, in terms of being given the kingdom of God. All of these things extremely, extremely important concerning who we became the day we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And right alongside that is we are no longer the toiler. We have become the tender. But the tender who still thinks like the toiler will continue to toil in life. Will continue to toil in life. So Adam was created to tend in the midst of great abundance, not to toil in lack. And if the last Adam has restored us back to the position the first Adam fell from and even one above that, then this is not just as true, not just as true, but if I believe it's even more true, I believe we have been restored to a position greater than the one Adam fell from. And because he was created by God and placed in an environment of great abundance to tend and not toil, how much more have we been recreated in Christ Jesus? We've not just been placed in the kingdom. God has put his kingdom in us. Amen. Now, we said toil speaks of painful, sorrowful labor, work and labor that is burdensome and draining. But tending is work that is life-giving, invigorating, and fulfilling. Toil is labor with no guarantee of results. Toiling is synonymous with struggling. And boy, the Holy Spirit really prompted me today. Toiling is also synonymous with stress. With stress. Now, part of what we're doing, at least in the early messages and lessons in this series, is just trying to develop some terminology and not just what we think it means, but what it means from the perspective of the Word of God. Because, you know, some people say, well, work is work. No, that's not true. That's not true. There's some work that's life-giving. You may be tired. You may be ready to go to bed. But, man, you go to bed happy and satisfied and fulfilled. There's other work that is draining. It's life-draining. It's misery. It's stressful. And so in an effort to try to help us all, myself included, understand some of the characteristics and differences between what's tending look like, what's toiling look like. If it's struggling and stress, it's toiling. It's not tending. So let's talk for a minute about this. What is stress? Stress is the mental and emotional strain that comes from the pressure of responsibility. One more time. Stress is the mental and emotional strain that comes from the pressure of responsibility. I was thinking about this and kind of meditating on this a good bit today. And one of the ways that the Lord helped me kind of understand what he was saying to me in this is he took me back to some of the days in our cabinet business. And there were times that I almost envied my employees. Why is that? It's because they were enjoying the fruits of their labor without the responsibility and the potential stress that came with the ownership of the business. They love doing cabinets. I enjoy doing cabinets. They love building cabinets. I love building cabinets. They love installing cabinets. I love installing cabinets. They would show up happy. You know, they'd go put in a job. Get paid. They were happy. You know, this, oh man, this is so much fun. You know what I'm saying? The difference is And I had to learn to not, you know, cast the care of that business over on the Lord. But the responsibility of ownership, and Pam and I, we cared about our employees, and, you know, especially in the early, you know, we felt the pressure of keeping enough work so that they would have jobs to do. There were times we paid our employees, we didn't get paid. So again, notice now, what's the difference? The difference is the pressure of the responsibility. Okay. So tending then equals rest if toiling equals stress. So what's the difference? It's in recognizing and realizing who truly is responsible. Amen. Are we putting our trust in ourselves, or are we going to put our trust in the Lord? Remember, we've talked about this earlier. Let me go back to it. One of the fundamental differences between tending and toiling is who you look to for the increase. Amen. Someone with a toiling mindset, they believe it's all up to them. That if they don't make something happen, if they don't beat the bushes, if they don't dig their way out of the hole they're in, that they're not ever going to get out of that hole, that they're not ever going to have anything better in their life. That, again, do you see the mindset there? So it's this idea that it's us against the world, it's me against the world, and we're going to do this and all sorts of stuff. Somebody who tends, it doesn't mean they're lazy, but they recognize who's number one, God, and who's number two, us. And we're not looking to our own ability, but we're looking to God for the increase. I don't have time to explain the whole thing, but let me just quickly. If that's the basic difference between the offering that Abel gave to the Lord and the offering that Cain gave to the Lord. And it wasn't because Abel gave a blood offering and Cain gave a fruit offering or a vegetable offering. If you look at the scriptures, God accepted fruits and vegetables just like he accepted the offerings of blood and of animals. You have to go all the way over to the book of Hebrews to find the clarity. And the clarity is that Abel gave his very best to God while Cain withheld his best from God and gave God his second best. Now, again, if you dig a little deeper and look a little closer, someone who's raising livestock, they keep the very best livestock to breed so that the bloodlines will remain strong and healthy. A farmer, my grandfather, would take the biggest, most beautiful watermelon, and that would be the one he got the seeds out of for next year. So do you see what Abel was doing when he sacrificed the very best of his flock to God? He was saying, I'm not putting my trust in my own ability to raise animals to be successful. He cut the throat of his best sheep. A powerful statement to God that, God, I'm not depending upon myself. I'm trusting you. What is he saying? I'm not taking the responsibility for my prosperity upon myself. Abel was the tender. He was tending. He recognized that God is the source of increase. And to express that trust and confidence in God, he sacrificed his best to God. Compare that to Cain. By Cain keeping all the best produce for himself and giving the little scrawny half full ears of corn or whatever. Do you see what he's communicating? I'm gonna keep the best for me, and I'm gonna sow it next year. So he's putting his trust in himself. It would have been a huge disservice to Cain for God to have accepted something less than his best. God can't honor that. But notice what he told Cain. He said, Cain, look, if you'll just do what you know to do, son, if you just do what you know to do, you'll be accepted. But he didn't. So, man, I bet. Well, look, it says that he was both depressed and violently angry. Proverbs 12 and 25 says anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. So we can reverse engineer that and see how anxious and stressed out Cain was. He was putting the pressure of increase and survival on himself instead of trusting God. So tending equals rest. Toiling equals stress. It's one of the huge indicators that you're in a toiling mindset when you're stressed. Amen or oh me. I could be in here preaching to myself tonight, okay? But amen. Thank you, Jesus. So what is tending then? Tending then is work without stress. It's work without stress. Amen. Well, that's enjoyable. If we can work without stress, you say, well, Pastor Mark, how do you do that? Well, tending is working from a place of rest. That almost sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? How can you work and rest at the same time? It's because you're not placing the responsibility for your survival upon yourself. You're looking to the Lord. And you're asking Him to bless whatever your hand finds to do, and you're going to do it as unto the Lord with all your might, and recognize that you're cooperating with Him in the steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord, but that you're not taking the responsibility for the increase because God gives the increase. You may be involved in planting. You may be involved in watering. But the best planters and the best waterers in the world can't produce increase without God. So when the Bible speaks of the farmer who plants the seed and then goes to sleep at night and rest, it doesn't mean he's being lazy. It just means his confidence is in something bigger than himself, in someone bigger than himself, that he realizes that by doing what he knows to do with the planting and the watering, it's positioning him. He's tending, right? It's positioning him to receive increase from God. Amen. Listen, please be thankful for whatever job that you may have, if you're employed or what have you. But don't ever think of your job or your employer as your source. They're a channel. God is your source. One source, many channels. Amen. So tending is working from a place of rest. And Hebrews 4:9, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. So many times people read this and they think they're talking about heaven. God's not talking about heaven. He's talking about the people that he tried to bring into their rest, but they heard the word and they didn't mix faith with it. And because they didn't mix faith with it, they didn't enter into the promised land that God had for them. But he's saying that for you and me, in our new covenant, there's a place for rest that not a lot of people have found. And this is why he says, listen, he says, so labor to enter into that rest. I believe this ties in specifically with what Jesus said in John chapter 6 when he said, the work that you need to do is to believe on him whom God has sent. Hallelujah. Well, we said last week that modern day Christianity spiritualizes struggling, and the devil's trying hard to make struggling synonymous with living the Christian life, but nothing could be further from the truth. Now, I've got a lot of notes on this. I just keep introducing a little by little, and I want to mention it again. The mindset of the toiler is got to make something happen. Got to make something of yourself. You got to listen very carefully to how we say this, okay? A toiler begins with a mindset of deficit. May not be in deficit, because that's the thing about this. I've seen people who have plenty of money still think like a toiler. The devil don't care how much money you got. If he can make you think you ain't got none and what you have ain't enough. Are you following me? Okay. So the thing with a toiling mindset is it always operates from a position of lack, of not enough. So this would not just include financial resources, but things like trying to measure up. So that's a toiling mindset. Because somewhere along the way you've believed that you don't measure up. Notice you're starting from a position of deficit, lack. But we're gonna show them. You see that? We're gonna show them. We're gonna prove that we have what it takes. We're gonna prove ourselves, not just to other people. We're trying to prove ourselves to ourselves. Are you following me? So this is. I might have, should have just inserted more notes right here, but there's a target I'm trying to hit tonight. But let me just spend another minute or two here. Compare that to attending mindset. Attending mindset, this is deeper in my notes. Let me say it this way. If you understand like the difference between, when I say in the red or in the black, if financially speaking, if you're in the red, that means you haven't broke even yet. Okay. You got more going out than you got coming in. So you're in the red. In the black, you know, accounting terminology means you have profit. You're not just at break even, you're actually have increase. So the toiler always operates from the red. Again, even if they have hundreds of thousands of dollars, they still think like a toiler. They still think it's all up to them. They still think they could lose everything they got any minute. Because for some reason they think they got all that money by themselves. You see how that mindset goes? See, if you think you got it, then you think you can lose it in any minute, right? What's that saying? The world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. That's someone who tends. You recognize. Not that you didn't work or weren't diligent or manage the money wisely or whatever. But someone who has a toiling mindset, they're always operating from the red, even if they got plenty. They still think like somebody who doesn't. And you know what the world would say to that? You got to stay hungry. And you're probably going to die early because you're so stressed out about everything. So you've already probably put two and two together. Someone who's operating in life and in the kingdom with a tending mindset, this is somebody who's always operating from the black. Even if they got more debt than they got money. It's an attitude, it's a mindset, it's a perspective. It's the way you see things. Are you following me? See, this is why toilers have such a hard time giving. Amen. Because it's not, and keep this in mind too, especially born again toilers. When I say people who are born again, by nature, they're a tender, but in their thinking and their behaving, they're toilers. And so, man, you're talking about somebody that struggles because they have, by nature, are generous, but in their mindset, they're always in the red. I mentioned Keith Moore a lot. I mentioned Keith Moore more than Keith Moore mentioned Kenneth Hagin. Did y'all ever notice that? You ever listen to it? You won't hardly ever hear Keith Moore speak that he doesn't mention his father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin. But I heard him say, and of course it's in the scriptures, I read it, but this is his simple way of breaking it down. It's not prosperity unless you can enjoy it. It's not prosperity unless you can enjoy it. And if the Lord has prospered you, but you're afraid to help somebody else, if the Lord has prospered you, are you afraid to spend something on something that you need or maybe even want? That's not prosperity. Why? It's because You're still thinking like one who toils. Someone who has a tending mindset that's put their trust in God realizes that our best financial days aren't behind us. Our best financial days are still ahead of us. And in every other area of life as well. But a toiler, again, even one who financially is in the black by a mile, they still think like, you know what I'm saying, that our best days are behind us. You know, well, you know, we had a good run, but we won't ever see days like that again. I mean, look at inflation. Look at, and so, again, the lens you look to becomes the lens you look through. All right, amen. You still good? Let me keep going here. Let me get the, praise God. So, because a toiling mindset looks to self and the world system for increase, a fruitfulness or tending-based mindset looks to God and His kingdom. So watch this now. A toiling mindset predisposes us to serve mammon instead of God. And we all, you know, I would imagine most people that have spent, you know, any fair amount of time in church knows that what Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. You're going to love one master and hate the other, or hate one and hold to the other. But it's the mindset that predisposes. So when we have this toiling mindset, it predisposes us to serve mammon instead of God. Let me keep going here. A toiling mindset predisposes us to look to and trust in the flesh instead of God. Why is that? Because the toiler says you never know what God's going to do, but I know how much I can earn in an hour. So this also means that a toiling mindset predisposes us to pride. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've built. Look at what I've made. Look at what I've earned. So as time progressed, the more we looked to ourselves and worked for the things we needed and wanted, the less we looked to God and trusted His ways of fruitfulness. Now, we were here about 4 or 5 weeks ago and we took some other offshoots, but let's get back to this and we'll finish. Toiling plays into and reinforces the ideas of earning and deserving. And I can almost hear people saying, and? It was like, so? Yeah? Toiling plays into and reinforces the ideas of earning and deserving. Earning and deserving have become normal for the world and for many in the body of Christ. But God did not create you for earning and deserving. He created us for ruling and reigning. He created us for tending and keeping. So let's talk about it. Let's break this down. Earning, simply put, earning is putting forth effort to obtain what you do not have. Earning is putting forth effort to obtain what you do not have. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Listen to me, please. It's not so much that there's something wrong with it, but you also have to understand that what God wants you to have can't be earned. Now, this is, it's in this low level, you know, meat and potatoes, nitty gritty, rubber meets the road area of life and living. It's like, well, you know, these principles, this is an entertaining sermon, Pastor Mark, we appreciate all this, but you need to get done with this because we gotta get home, get sleep, we gotta go to work tomorrow. Because we gotta put forth some effort to obtain what we don't have or what we need. But God says He's already supplied your every need. Well, I mean, how is that supposed to work? That's what I'm trying to teach you. This is how it works, right? You follow me? Amen. Did God not say He has freely given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness? Amen. So earning is putting forth effort to obtain what you do not have. This has become so normal that somebody like me trying to teach about it on a Wednesday night, it's like sailing clean over people's heads until we reminded that Adam was freely given everything he needed and knew no lack. Adam didn't understand the concept, had no concept. I mean, like, if you were to go up to him and talk about earning something, he was like, what? He would have had the complete opposite end of the spectrum look on his face that some of you had on your faces when I'm sitting here talking about earning and deserving. Because it's become so ingrained in our mindset. Did I mention significant shift? This is a significant shift. Well, you know, Adam, you know, I mean, listen, me and the Father and the Holy Spirit, let me just say this, okay, son. We put some fruit on these trees for you, but don't think it's going to be like this forever. Can you imagine God telling him something like that? It's like, look, you can eat freely, but you got, you know, we have aftercare programs at the Foundry, you know, and where the men can come and they're given a grace period, and it's maybe a lousy comparison, but they're given a grace period. In other words, they don't have to pay for anything or do anything, you know, for an extended period of time until they get a job, until they, you know, it's not like you the pay rent or you're out. Okay. You know, it's not, but that wasn't the way God was operating here. What God went on saying, look, Adam, you know, we're going to get you started here. We got, you know, good kickstart here for things, but, you know, don't think this is how it's going to work forever. Okay. I mean, at some point you have to earn your keep. No. Adam was freely given everything that he needed. He knew no lack. And now this is another offshoot. We're going to go back to some verses that we probably are very familiar with in the days to come. But how about this? James chapter 1 verse 4. God says to you and me, let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So let's talk about, we said earning and deserving. Deserving is effort that puts others in your debt. Help us, Jesus. Deserving is work, effort. I changed the word there, but you understand effort and work kind of work together. They're going very similar to one another. Let's go back. Earning is putting forth effort to obtain what you don't have. So we don't have it. We're going to work hard enough to earn enough to get it. Okay. Deserving is effort that we put forth in order to put other people in our debt. So let's go back to last week's verse. Man, this passage right here, it just screams tending. And as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I don't have it all in here and in my notes, but anybody know what Jesus told them next? And don't take no money with you. Think about that for a minute. But he's trying to teach them something. And the same thing he was trying to teach them, he was trying to teach you and me. I'm sure Peter was thinking, well, you know, I got some money saved up from the fishing business. We kept it hid in a drawer back there in the bedroom. I guess I can go get that. No, Jesus said, nuh-uh. Won't you take a penny with you? He's wanting to show them that he could take care of them. Amen. Amen. That's a huge step. Can you imagine doing that? Huge step. Freely you've received, freely give. So let's finish it here. A toiling mindset focuses on what it will cost you to serve and give to others. It also considers whether or not those in need are deserving of your help. Jesus did not say, freely you have received, freely give to those you think deserve it. It's not what he said. Freely you have received. See, now, sweet Jesus. If there's any remnants of a toiling mindset in you, see, it's like, well, you know, you got to be careful with that, Pastor Mark. You know, you just can't just be helping anybody. The Holy Spirit will lead you. But it's one thing, man, I think Donald said, if I butcher your quote, brother, please forgive me, but he was talking about how many times wisdom, if you're listening on the podcast, I'm doing the quote here like not really wisdom, but how many times wisdom is used to not do what God is instructing and leading us to do. Did I get that pretty, okay, yeah, you know. God's telling us to do something like, well, you know, wisdom, brother, we need to use wisdom here. It got nothing to do with wisdom. It's got to do with a toiling mindset. You figuring out how much it's going to cost you to do that. But notice now, if you's like, hey, you know what? Everything I got, the Lord gave me. And he's got way more than this for me. Keith Moore in two times in one sermon, right? If you've ever heard a story about when, I mean, he had the traveling ministry, things were going well, and a nice home finally, nice cars finally, you know, more invitations to go travel and preach than he could feel. He was standing in front of his mirror shaving one morning, and he said, the Lord spoke to him clear as a bell. He said, do you think I can do more for you than this? And you know what the Lord told him? He said, I'm going to give you the best of Branson, Missouri. Best of Branson. I mean, he was in Oklahoma, I'm going to give you the best of Branson. It's my understanding he lives in the nicest home in Branson, Missouri. And the church that he pastors there is the nicest building. They have, how many acres do you remember, Donald, on the main? I've never been to Branson. I want to go sometime, but like what they call the strip, you know, think like in Panama City, the Miracle Strip, or in Smoky Mountains, the Parkway, or Pigeon Forge. They've got, I don't want to exaggerate it, but many acres right there. That's where the church is. Praise God. See, someone who thinks like the tender instead of the toiler, not afraid to give because you know that God's your source and he can give you the best of, and you fill in the blank. I mean, wherever he's got for you to go. Stand with me. You're getting quiet on me. Praise God. You thinking? Amen. So few things hinder our ability to walk in the fullness we've been given than an earning and deserving approach to life. Jesus set us free from earning and deserving so we can finally have and enjoy all that Father desires to give us. Amen. Amen. Lord, you're easing us into this. But I feel like we have made some progress tonight. Lord, you're helping us see, understand, and identify areas in our thinking that still may be influenced by toiling instead of tending, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you have put us in and then put in us, inside of us, tremendous abundance. Tremendous abundance. Can't toil and receive what can only be given to us by you. Our effort, our earning, our efforts to try to put you and others in our debt never get us. It may get us a little progress in life, but it'll never get us where you want us to be in you and in your kingdom, Father. Tending freely. Lord, you have freely given us all things. And Lord, once we understand that and recognize that, it makes it not only easy to give, it makes it fun. Freely we have received, freely we give. Amen. Amen. So a guy named, I think his name was William Vaughn. I may be saying that. I know his last name was Vaughn. I don't remember the first name. And it's often used in 12-step recovery. It's not a Bible verse, but you can see biblical parallels to it. He said this. He says, you can only keep what you give away. You can only keep what you give away. Well, it's all ours. But I think the reality of it is, it's only when we give it away that we realize what we've been given and we tap into the vast abundance that Father has placed us in. Amen. All right. Know that you love. Thank you again for being here tonight. Appreciate this growing crowd on Wednesday evening. Man, it excites me. Praise God. You have a great rest of your week. If you think about Pam and I, just lift us up, and we will be back on Saturday, and looking forward to seeing you all again on Sunday morning. Praise God.